And let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are, you exist, and you alone are God. And thank you for the privilege of knowing you through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what it is to have your word, your personal word to mankind, Father. Thank you for truths. Thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Thank you that you would speak to us tonight, to encourage us, to challenge us. Help us to see the reality of relationship with you and what we have because you are and you desire relationship with your creatures. Speak, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The world is moving by rapidly. The physicist tells us that the Earth rotates at the equator at 15 degrees an hour. 15 degrees an hour. That's the equivalent of 1,037 miles per hour. That's a spinning top. It revolves around the sun at 18.5 miles per second, or 66,600 miles per hour. Wow. We're moving. Life moves on. And the Bible tells us that it is moving towards a definite end. It is not random in its movement under a sovereign God. Under a sovereign God, he gives us choices to make as we're moving through life. Two choices. I hear it from both sides. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Choose and vote. I hear it from both sides, Republicans and the Democrats. Look and evaluate. The choices are right there in front of you. You should be able to see. Yes, pray, evaluate, and then as a citizen, vote for your next president and the direction America will go. But there's a far greater choice that we find in God's word tonight than just who's going to be president of the United States and which way is this country going. There's a far greater choice which has to be made. And the consequences are much greater than just the direction of America or your world or your economy or what we have here on planet Earth. That is the choice of your eternal destiny. Life moving so rapidly, death right around the corner. Where will you be then? What happens then? And it shocks me that so many put it off. So many are not concerned. Well, we'll find out when it happens what happens. Really? You don't even think about where will you be? 100 years from now? 50? 10? 2 minutes from now? Where will I be for eternity? What am I created for? Why am I here? We go back to the book of Hebrews. We've seen here the problem. The problem are believers in Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But who are discouraged, who've gotten their eyes off of God and they're struggling. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's deconvert. Let's go back to Judaism. Back to the old ways. And so the Holy Spirit, writing through the writer, the book of Hebrews, has given us lots of theology. And we've seen as we've compared, there's no comparison. Jesus is far greater than anything and everyone we've looked at. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Look back and see. We've had warnings throughout the book of Hebrews, warnings about drifting, about hardening, about leaving this life with Jesus and just throwing in the towel. We've had examples here recently in chapter 11 of the heroes of the faith, ones who have believed and given everything, and how God blessed them through difficult trials, even death itself. The example of Old Testament saints who persevered, who saw, who believed, and who lived it. And we've seen here that for his children, God, because he is a loving father, he disciplines his children. He brings trials, difficulties into our lives because he wants to shape us. He wants us to grow up and be strong and to mature in our faith. And we've seen that. Discipline, discipling, and the words one from the other because it's all a part of it. We get spanked because we need it. He trains us because he loves us. He wants us to grow. And we've been encouraged all the way through to go forward, press on, keep going, stick with it. No, it's not easy. But go on without any bitterness because of the difficulties that have come your way. Ones you think, and maybe true, I really didn't deserve that. But without bitterness, without immorality as we're being pushed through culture, through our eyes, through our ears, through examples. Immorality, no immorality. No profane living like Esau. Profane living, that's living as if God doesn't exist. Keep mindful in front of you. Whatever you do, you play, you work, you study, you rest, whatever. God, you are there. No profane living, but keep moving forward with that reality. That's what we've seen here. That's where we're at. And now it's time to come to a final contrast. A final contrast as we come to the conclusion, as we come to the climax, basically, of Hebrews. Yeah, we're only in chapter 12, another chapter to go. But this is where it's at. Hey, two sides, your choice. You be the judge. Which do you really want? Can't you see the difference? And so we're going to take a trip. We're going to go climb a mountain. First, we go to Mount Sinai. You remember Mount Sinai? We're back in the Old Testament. We're back with slavery to Egypt. And God heard the groanings of his people. And God said, I hear how tough life is for you right now. I hear how tough it is. I'm going to send you a deliverer. And Moses was sent. Moses went to Pharaoh, and you know the 10 plagues. And finally Pharaoh said, get out of here. But then he reconsidered. What am I doing giving away all of my labor? Let's go after him. But God delivered. The Israelites went through on dry ground, through the Red Sea. The Egyptians, their armies, their chariots, annihilated totally. 40 years of wandering, where we could have had it done in less than 2 years easily. Several million people, critters, the whole thing. We could have gotten in, but because of our stubbornness and our rebellion, our lack of faith and thinking God cannot do it, our lack of faith that gets us into trouble when we back off and, well, let's push our way through rather than to trust. But we're on our way. And then we come to Mount Sinai. What can we say about Mount Sinai? Before we say something specifically about Mount Sinai, let's just say that fear is natural. Fear. The dictionary says, the new dictionary, the Google dictionary, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined. A real threat or our mind that plays games and moves, and too easily it moves in a negative direction. That's why, again, from this morning, we take every thought captive. We're supposed to take every thought captive and not let our mind start getting us into trouble by what if, and it's been proven that what if very often never comes. But what if? And we pull ourselves down and we're afraid. And so bad thoughts, the worst thoughts, terror, panic. We cry out, we sweat, we shake. We can build ourselves into a paralysis that I can't move because I'm so scared of what's going to happen. Fear is natural, whether real or imagined. Fear characterizes Mount Sinai. It's not imagined. Exodus chapter 19, let's read and go back and climb that mountain with the Jews. Exodus chapter 19. I start to read here at verse 10. Exodus 19, verse 10. The Lord, I'll give you another moment to catch it. The Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today, set them apart, that they're right and clean and holy before me, and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, we'll see later. The third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Tell the people, so far, but no further. You reach out beyond the boundary, you'll be put to death. That's something to be threatened by. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beat your pet dog, your lamb, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and he consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightning flashes, a thick cloud upon the mountain, a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and his smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. Wow. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Moses sent down with final instructions and a strong warning. God has already demonstrated his concern for holiness. Sinful man must not come near holy God on his own. One more time. Sinful man, sinful woman, sinful teen, sinful child, sinful individuals must not come near a holy God on his own. And so what do we have? People being taught by God to fear him. Fear him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Just one verse I'm going to read. It says, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Fear God. Fear God. Teach them. They experience fire. Flames at Sinai, the mountain of flame. Moses had already experienced fire from God, the burning bush. He was afraid then. I've seen pictures from Iceland. Diane's here. The earthquakes, the lava, the red, up and flowing and moving like a flood. Fire, fire. And what it can do. The darkness. Hell, darkness, but fire. Smoke from the fire that produces a darkness probably. Again, a whirlwind. Wind knocking down trees. Talk to Merv about his poplar tree. Just uprooted this past week from the storm that went by. Just taking it and roots and all up out of the ground. The trumpet, loud, trumpet, loud. Exodus 19, verse 16 and 19, we read 2018. The trumpet, something's happening. The sound of thunder, that's God speaking. They cry out, tell God not to speak to us anymore. Don't touch. Fine. I want no part of what God is doing. Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments are to be given. Mount Sinai. Fear. Mount Sinai, fear. Fear the Lord. He is holy. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. The law, the Ten Commandments. You want to please God? You want to get to heaven? Keep them perfectly. Go ahead, do it. But there's a curse. You can't keep them perfectly. But I kept 19 out of 20. 99 out of 100 of God's laws. You name them, whatever. No, 100%, 100%. Most of us know that. We can't please God by our works. But that's the law. That's the law. And churches who want to live by the law, by works. Again, the two Seventh-day Adventists that I played golf with, I'm going to hell because I worship on Sunday. That's what they told me. And I also had pork loin for dinner today. They can't eat pork. The law, that's what they told me as I was with them there up at the Rich Maiden Golf Course here. Yeah, I think of Catholics living by works. Many of the plain peoples in this area live by works. Do what the bishop says. Do what the bishop says. Whatever. Protestants, far too often it's a work. Say, if I do enough works, I'm in. No. These people were terrified. Oh, to see the reality. Mount Sinai, fear. Don't get too close to God. Don't get too close to God. Learn to be afraid of God because you've got to keep it and keep it and keep it. Even Moses was afraid. We read of that. Acts chapter 7, verse 32, when Stephen is preaching, and he goes back. Because the actual wording is not in the text in the Old Testament regarding Mount Sinai. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 32, Moses, is that what I want? Yes. Moses 32, I'm reading 22. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. Now wait a minute, Moses was a friend of God's. He was a friend of God's. But Moses shook with fear under the laws of Mount Sinai. And you want to live like that? Again, it's your choice. Keep the law. Be good. Be nice. And try and please God. That's Mount Sinai. Jews, Hebrews, you want to go back? It's your choice. Think about it. But there is a choice, and we have a second mount, Mount Zion. Let me read again the text. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. 18 to 21 as we start out. And thank you for praying for me, you who are praying. I can go hours and have not a problem, and then when the cough takes over, God knows. Hebrews 12, 18, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command. If even a beast touches a mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Full of fear and trembling. Even Moses. But you Hebrews have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion? There is such a place, Mount Zion. Zion was another name for Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. You recall You recall what we have there. We have a city that David captured and made it the capital for Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 5, 6, 7, and 10. Jerusalem, the place where the ark was placed. The ark, which symbolized the presence of God. The ark, which had been made in accordance with Mount Sinai and to be put into the tabernacle. It will later be put into the temple. You read about that in 2 Samuel 6. The ark, which symbolized the presence of God with the mercy seat. God's reaching out in mercy, but it symbolized the presence of God. It was there in Jerusalem, the city. Jerusalem, God's dwelling place on the earth. It's the city. You have come to Mount Zion into the city of the living God. God is, as I shared earlier, as you know, but God is in his holy temple. God is his city. Listen to Psalm 122, I want to say. Psalm 122 and then Psalm 132, or is it 131? Just a second here. Psalm 132, 122, 132. 122, verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem, that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. An ordinance for Israel, it's a command to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The psalm begins with, I was glad when they said to me, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. And then you come to Jerusalem. And I go to Psalm 132, and in 132, verse 13 and 14, I read, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation, his place to live. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. The city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city of Zion, up on the mount, on the hill, one of the hills of Jerusalem. Again, Zion, the place where God is. But we're not talking about that mountain here today. We are speaking of the heavenly Zion or the new Jerusalem. Look back to chapter 13 of Hebrews, or excuse me, not back, but ahead. We're not there yet, but 13 verse 14. For here, in Jerusalem now, here we do not have a lasting city. It's not going to remain in one sense. But we are seeking the city which is to come. We're seeking the city which is to come. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, it's called the Jerusalem above, the one we have here on earth. The Jerusalem above. In Revelation 21, verse 2, it's called the New Jerusalem. That's the contrast. Mount Sinai or the New Jerusalem, Mount Zion. I share with you, in Jesus, in the spiritual realm, we already have access. We already have access. Again, it's something I don't comprehend. As much as I can't go back 2,000 plus years, I was buried with Christ. I was crucified with Christ. I rose again with Christ. The words that Paul uses, in Christ, you're a new creature, a new creation. When you're born again, it's the miracle of relationship with him. It's not a religion. It's not trying to live as Jesus wants you to live as such. But it's a miracle of being in Christ. And we are told, notice again the text here. Let me read some more of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. You have come, you have come. You Hebrews who are looking to throw this in the... No, don't throw it away. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You've come to it. It's the perfect tense, grammatically speaking. A past accomplished with present ongoing results. Hey guys, you want to go back to Zion? Excuse me, to Sinai. You want to go back to the place of fear and trembling? And don't get too close to God. When you've been born again, you've already come to the new Jerusalem. You came into a relationship with the living God. What a difference. Sinai, stay away, don't touch, don't come near. The New Jerusalem, relationship with Christ. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I shared with one just the other day again. You're as close to God as you want to be, because He wants you close. The word is clear. Draw near to God, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. What a difference. Stay away, says Mount Sinai. Don't come close. Mount Zion, come close. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. That's the difference. And there's a choice out there. It's grace and mercy versus the law. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was to teach us. The law was to bring us. But there's a new freedom in Christ. Draw near, draw near. We speak of the heavenly Zion in New Jerusalem. And as you draw near, it is populated by myriads of angels. Again, verse 22. What are those angels doing? Angels, what are they doing? Well, you asked them to do something this morning. Were you aware of what you were asking this morning? Huh? We sang the doxology. Again, is that just rote when we sing that? Or do I really understand what I'm singing? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Hey, we're here together to thank you, God, for your goodness. And we sing it every Sunday morning. Offerings have been taken. Thank you for giving us. We give back to you. Not just what's in the plate, ourselves to you. But then what's the next line? Praise. What is it? What's the next line of the doxology? What was that, Tim? What was that you were asking, Tim? One more time. Hey. Hey, angels, join us. Have you ever thought about that Sunday morning? I kind of doubt it. I needed to be awakened as I looked here. You've come into this new Jerusalem already, the heavenly Jerusalem. And they're already holy, holy. They can't stop singing holy, holy, holy. And my friend, you've heard my friend Greg, because of the church's music that they sing there, almost with tears. John, my boys are going to grow up never having sung holy, holy, holy in your hymn book. But we're asking the angels to join us now as we praise our God together. You come into the company of the angels are there. And they want to because, remember, the demons were angels fallen and thrown out. Those who remain always live to do obediently. And those angels up there get a little frustrated. I don't want to say frustrated with God. That doesn't sound just right. But they don't understand. God, why do you put up with these people? We serve you perfectly as angels now. Why do you give them the opportunity that the demons never had in one sense to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? But people, yes, you've come into that now. You join them, the angels, in giving praise and thanks to God. But also you have come, remember, past result, when you got saved. When you got saved, you've come into this relationship, and it's ongoing now with the myriads. You read in Daniel, in his visions there in the book of Daniel, you read again about the angels and the warfare that goes on. But you've also come to the general assembly and the church. You come to the ecclesia, the church of the firstborn. It's a called-out assembly. Commentaries were talking about, well, we can talk about the Olympic Games coming now. If you've been to the opening ceremonies and all that's going on, for me, it's very exciting to watch. This is an excitement of all of the angels coming together here. Myriads of angels, and we're praising God together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him together with the angels. The church, the called out gathering or assembly of the firstborn? Well, Jesus is the firstborn. But there's a problem here. That the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, it's talking about a plural here. Not just Jesus, the firstborn, but we are called to be part of the firstborn in Him. Jesus is not ashamed to be joint heirs with us when we're born again. We are one with Him in that assembly. We are the church of the firstborn. We are part of that. We are saints with Him, and we share in, again, enrolled in heaven. I go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Disciples have returned. They've been on a trip, missions trip. What do we sing this morning about the mission? The mission, the mission. Well, they've gone out and they've come back in. And I read here in Luke chapter 10 because they're excited and Jesus has to rebuke them a little bit there. He would do that because He loved them. Behold, verse 19, Luke 10, 19. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. John Horgan. Horgan. We leave it at that. Recorded in heaven. My name is written there. I think of so many old hymns we used to sing. Is your name written there on the page, bright and fair? Is your name written down there? Wow. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Revelation, last book of the Bible, 21, we're at the end of Revelation. 21 and verse 27, who gets into heaven? Well, verse 27, nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. Practices, it's the ongoing temperament. Not that they've lied, they've repented. But nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And next to that, with my ink, I underlined Lamb's Book of Life, and I wrote 6X. That means six times is referenced to the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written down? It's recorded. Recorded. John M. Horgan. And your name, if you're born again, it's written down already. And we've come into the assembly of these whose names are written down in heaven, so much so that Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, that can be abused. Remember the Norwegian evangelist? He was thrown in jail because he refused to pay taxes. I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't have to pay Norwegian taxes. Government said he had to. He wound up in jail. I'm a U.S. citizen, possibly a Norwegian citizen. But the one that matters is Philippians 3:20, citizens of heaven. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the promise for everyone who's believed and for those who have come to Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Wow. That's part of it? Who else do we find there in this New Jerusalem? We find here, what? The spirits of the righteous made perfect. Who are the spirits of the righteous made perfect? Commentators, it's the Old Testament saints. But also it's New Testament saints still referred to as the spirits. Why is it referred to them as the spirits? Because they don't have bodies. Dirk's old body, he doesn't have any more. Bodies been donated to science. Have fun with it, you guys. He doesn't need it anymore. No. The spirit or the soul, the real you. Spirits made perfect. They're made perfect in one sense because they can't sin anymore. They're glorified. There's still something to be done, though, because those spirits want a new body. And that we're told they'll have to wait for until we who are still alive get our new body in the rapture. They'll get a new body. And if we're still on planet Earth when Jesus comes back, this body will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What was that, a 50th of a second or less? Boom, just like that. But they're already a part of it in the New Jerusalem. And you've come into that somehow already now. Not when you die, but now. Ephesians chapter 1 brings out and throughout there that we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. What's in the heavenlies? The New Jerusalem. We're already, but I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. But I'm also there. God wants you to have that assurance to know who you are. You talk about identity problems in this world today. Christians should not have an identity problem. I is a part of that. How do you know? The Bible says so. You believe the Bible? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's why it's important that each one of us who professes to be a Christian takes a stand, but the Bible says. Just get it clear what the Bible says. Åge Samuelsson, the Norwegian evangelist, you didn't understand. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's is also a part of your Bible. And though it's not Caesar who is the head of Norway and the tax bureau in Norway, you should have been paying taxes. April 15th, wow, it's coming. Miranda Watts is working today. I assume she's not here. She was going to give me her tax papers. She needs her taxes done. She better get them to me. You let her know. Anyway, look who you're with. The Spirit's made perfect. But more than that, what else is there? You've come to God. You see it right there in verse 21. And to God. You come to the New Jerusalem. You come to God, who's the judge of all. Oh, okay. That's not necessarily good, is it? Well, not if you're unsaved. If you're not born again, the Bible is clear. You're judged already. Am I going to get into heaven? No, you're not. Don't even wonder about it. Don't even wonder about it, because if you're not saved, you're not getting into heaven. The Bible is clear. You've been judged already. You must be born again. You must. The Bible is clear. But you're coming to God, the judge of all. But beyond that, into Jesus. Into Jesus. The mediator of a new covenant. The word for new there. New with reference to quality. Yeah. It's a different quality, this second covenant that Jesus spoke about and we talked about there on the Thursday night before Easter. And so forth, a new covenant in my blood. But it's new with reference to everything, time as well. Different word for new. But he is the mediator. He is the one who's opened this up for us. And we've come to the sprinkled blood. To the sprinkled blood. We've already talked about, and it's here again, the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out, remember when he was murdered by his brother, fratricide? But it cried out for what? Vengeance upon my brother who killed me. The blood of Jesus, what does that cry out for? Vengeance? No. It cries out with forgiveness, with washing and cleansing and acceptance and a new creation in Christ. Wow. The cost of the new covenant was the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Mount Sinai? Fear? Don't get close to God. Keep the law. Keep it. Sacrifice, God covers over until final payment is made with the body of Jesus Christ. And then by being born again, hey, you Hebrews, don't you see? What have I been trying to tell you through 11 chapters and here into chapter 12 now? Don't you see? Don't you see the choices there? To me, dumb me, it's as simple as a block of wood, awake, stone, arise, but God. You want a block of wood? You want a stone? There's God. You want Mount Sinai and the law and trying to live by the law and the police? No. Come to the New Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Come and see what God has done, what he's given to you. Yes, don't go back. Don't go back to fear. Will I make it? Will I not? But recognize where you are already when you are born again. Where you are already. myriads of angels, church of the firstborn, spirits of the righteous made perfect, to God and to Jesus. That's what you've come to when you come to Mount Zion, and it's there. All you have to do is call on the Lord Jesus and get saved. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a choice. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we say thank you, Lord. Amen.